Families wanted to fight for each other. Families wanted to die for each other. Let's go, AU!
Davis is gonna drop back. War Eagle, this is War Bloggle with War Bloggle podcast number 28, and we are doing it live today. It is January 14th, Wednesday, 1:30 in the afternoon, 2026 in the year of our Lord. I used to say the year of our Gus, but we're too far away from that. It is 48 degrees outside as I'm recording this. As I said, we're doing this live. You may be hearing this, you know, the aliens listening in 100 years, you're hearing this on Spotify or whatever later, Apple Podcast. But I am recording this as a live stream on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, which I did not check. That's going to be interesting. And Instagram, I didn't really check, but we'll see. So it's a live stream today, which all that really means is comments and stuff are coming up on the video feed, and I may be talking to some people and responding to them, which may be confusing later down the road if you're just listening to it, but I'll try to make it simple for everybody. Like I said, it is January 14th, did I say? Yes, it's a Wednesday. One of my New Year's resolutions last year was to do a podcast a week, and I did it. I think I got up to... I've got it, my Spotify feed right here. I got up to March 1st, roughly March 1st. And then, as I said, if you go back and listen, you can go back podcast number 20 or so. I said baseball was going to start in March-ish, and it was going to take over my life like it has for the last 8 or 9 years, which means it took over podcast life. So I decided not to make a resolution this year for that. I kind of unofficially did in my Discord, but I was at Disney World the first 3 days of the year. We went right after Christmas up until the 3rd or so, and I knew I wasn't going to do anything there. So it just kind of threw it all off. Everybody, you know, nobody really says the year doesn't really start. Resolutions don't start until that next Monday. Well, I didn't do it that Monday either. So we're just going to try to podcast more. We're going to get into some goals of doing extra podcasts that are not Auburn related. I'm really, you know, big into the big ones out there and love just having them on in the background and talking about anything and everything. And I like things more than Auburn, not more than Auburn. I like things other than Auburn. So my goal is to have this one popping off, getting it going, you know, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, whatever, just have something regular once I start to boil over with all the dumb things I see on social media. And then, you know, get off into talking about music or movies or weird stuff. Those are kind of my big things. I like music. I like weird stuff, scary movies, aliens, all that stuff. I'm just prehistoric stuff, history, you know, weird 43-year-old man stuff. So I would like to kind of get off into that world. And I did talk to somebody that is kind of worldwide famous right now that I do know. And he's kind of, you know, his name for sure. And I'm not trying to be coy, but I just don't want to say it yet until it's all nailed down. But somebody who's not related to Auburn stuff at all, he's agreed to do my podcast. So maybe that'd be a good kickoff to get out into the world of other stuff. But you came here to talk about, hear about Auburn today. So we're going to talk about Auburn. We're in the midst of the portal, the death portal, the worst thing to ever happen to sports. But it's there. I'm the old curmudgeon. I'm not going to get used to it. I'm not going to be like, you know, I understand me saying all this stuff is not going to change it. Me, you know, crapping on it is not going to change it. Maybe it'll start a revolution, but I think it's, yes, I am ascending Hunter Heron. It's not good for anything. It's not good for the sport. It's not good for the player. It's not good for how things work in this world. And I'm not going to go on a diatribe about the portal, but I just want to say, I tweeted this earlier today. There's this massive hypocrisy, or this really just two sides of the coin thing that I see a lot. I see people Actually, I'm going to go in on the portal because I've had a lot of these thoughts over the last 2 weeks that I wanted to do podcasts and I haven't done it. So you got these people that are like, you know, go get that bag, King, get your money. You can't blame these kids for wanting millions of dollars. And no, you can't. You cannot blame them for wanting millions of dollars. If somebody gave me $1 million to do but pretty much anything, a lot of things, I would probably do it. I mean, that's just, it's hard to argue with that. And we can get into what having that much money does to a person anyway. And, you know, is it really good? Yes, it makes things a lot easier in certain senses, but you see it all the time that just money given in the wrong ways to the wrong people at the wrong time, it's not always a great thing. It might be right then, but it's not 5 years down the road. And I think we're going to see that a lot more. You see professional athletes all the time talk about how they didn't know how to handle money. I mean, Shaq, who's, you know, turned into a pretty smart guy financially and done a million things with his life other than basketball. He said that, you know, he spent like the most money ever spent in a Walmart ever when he got his first check. And like, he was out of money. He like bought a car for his dad and bought a car for him. And he was out of money. Like his first check was gone. And he said, we just aren't taught that. And it's not just athletes. Kids are not taught how to deal with that much money and all that. Anybody. But it's just, it's going to lead to more detriment. And it's all based off of not being able to tell anybody no, which is an epidemic that is hit. And I know that makes me sound like an old white dude, but I have thought this way since I was born. I just the lack of authority, the lack of being able to tell somebody to know, the lack of, you know, a lot of it boils down to, I would bet 95% of the coaches would agree, hey, can we just let this portal go away? And they'd all be fine with it going away. But you're going to have one or two that don't care. And they're just like, no, I want my team to be good. No, I don't care. I've got to make my boosters happier or whatever. And so there's always going to be that one bad guy that's kind of still sticking out there and not going to agree with the rest. But the hypocrisy I was talking about earlier, it's, you got these people that are like, you know, do what's best for you. And he's got to take that money any way he can get it and all of that. But then on the other hand, you've got these stories of people that don't take the money and they stay with their school and they're treated like a unicorn now. And they really kind of are. But these same people are like, you've got to commend him for that loyalty and doing things the right way. They'll say that. They'll say the right way. But then they'll go over there and be like, dude, get all the money you can get. Yeah, take that money. And it's people that don't really have a team, or they're like, they're in media and they just care about a story to write, or they just care about the sport being exciting. They don't really care about a specific team or what that player leaving did to that team or what that player leaving did to him or whatever. They don't care. They watch sports like a TV show. It's media bros. But it's just hypocritical because they will commend people that don't take the money. They will commend people that are staying at home. And then if you criticize so-and-so for leaving for $4 million, you're a hypocrite because you would take that money. Or how dare you tell that kid what he can do? Nobody's saying what he can do. They're saying what you know is going to happen and what's going to happen to the sport, what's already happened to the sport. People watch college football because it's not the NFL. That's why most people watch it. Now, you've got bros, Twitter bros. I'm staring at one right in my brain right now, looking right at him. Twitter bros that want college football to be the NFL. They think fantasy football, stats, all of that is what matters. And that's fun to them. Who cares who the players are? Just get the best one over there. Throw as much money as you can because it's not their money. Just throw as much money as you can and get that so they can win and you can go on Twitter and make fun of somebody, make fun of the other fans. And I'll jump real quick into that point is bringing up this other point where you've all seen it. I've already seen two podcasts today talking about it. Cole Kublik kind of going off on Auburn fans or whoever, you know, just dying because Cam Coleman and Deuce Knight left. I'm not going to diss. I just said diss. I'm 43. I'm not going to, you know, dump on either one of those players as players. Both of them kind of played the system. Supposedly Cam kind of got played by his agent or whatever, but they're playing the system. They say they're going to be here, then they're not. And then they go, you know, instead of making, I'm just making up numbers, but instead of making $2 million, they're making $4 million. Obviously that's a lot more money, but if you're making $2 million to play college football and get everything you would ever need, sports, I mean, not sports, clothes, food, anything else you would ever need as a student, plus way more. You know, I think the jump from 2 to 4, yeah, you can invest more. Yeah, right. You can help out more friends and family. Yeah, but are we really jumping schools for an extra million when you're already making a few million? When you know you're going to go pro and make more millions? But anyway, Cole's point was, you know, there are people that are just dying because Cam Coleman and Deuce Knight and whoever left. Those players, Deuce Knight, okay, let's talk specifics. Deuce Knight won a Mercer game. Do we want Deuce Knight to be on our team? Yes, we do. Is it going to kill anything? I don't know. There's no reason to think it will or won't. But, you know, he beat Mercer, whatever. Cam Coleman, we lost 7 games 2 years in a row with Cam Coleman on our team. Cam Coleman might be the best one-handed pass catcher in the history of the world. I did see him drop a lot in his two hands. I did see him miss some that went into the other team's hands, and we blamed Peyton Thorne for it. I saw him fumble a ball in a very crucial point at the end of the Iron Bowl. The only reason I'm going to be negative about Cam Coleman is because, number one, he did the thing that I think is ruining football. But also, yes, I have a good point coming in the chat right here from Logan, which I'll address in a second. But, you know, we lost 14 games with Cam Coleman on our team. We won 10 and 14 with Cam Coleman on our team. The reason you hate it, the reason you hate it is because an Alabama fan gets to laugh and point at you on Twitter. Now, it helped a little bit with Cam because Alabama fans thought he was going there, and then he went to Texas. But everything is about getting owned on Twitter, getting owned by your other team. Yes, we want him on the team. But if you think about the production and did it help win games, no, it didn't. Blame every other reason you want to, but it didn't help win games. Is Auburn better with Cam Coleman on the team than not? I don't know that you can 100% say that until you see how the other guys play. Yes, Cam, again, you can like this or you cannot like this. Cam went on a visit to Alabama, but he had to get paid $50,000 to do it, and then the next day he went to Texas. While that's awesome between Auburn and Alabama stuff, that's actually ridiculous. I mean, just that we can do that, that we're to that point. And if any school ever tells you that they need 20 extra cents for a cup of Coke or an extra dollar for a ticket or an extra $30 for tickets, while we're throwing out any amount of money we can possibly think of, I know Auburn had a budget of $30 million for the portal this year, which is, again, absolutely ridiculous that we're throwing numbers like that out. And we're just throwing money to people so they will come look at your school. There, yes, I know they need that money to do that, but if they have the money to do that, then we are being swindled beyond all whatever, and not just Auburn, everybody. I mean, that it's ridiculous. There's more money than they're printing money, it feels like, to bring in kids that may not even come to the school or definitely, you know, in 95% of the cases have done nothing for your school or have done nothing at all. Like, done literally nothing, but we're under this thing where, well, if you don't pay me, they will. Oh, well, we can't lose you to him. We got to pay you. I mean, it is just bent over the barrel is the phrase what it is. There is no power in the schools anymore. The power is with the 4 and 5 stars because they think we think, oh, we're going to die if we don't have this player. We're going to die if so-and-so leaves and goes over there. Number one, we've seen in the portal, it spreads out the talent. That's one, I guess, semi thing. It spreads out the talent a little bit. So one player is not going to kill you or help you. It's not going to do that at all. So, you know, dying over a player leaving or dying over a player not even coming to your school, we have needs. Like Auburn still, I think, needs another offensive lineman or two. I think we got those two from South Florida that are pretty good, both named Cole. I made a joke that they would be the best offensive lineman named Cole at Auburn in Auburn history. Obviously a jab at Cole Kublik, but, you know, some people act like I went and stabbed him in the middle of the night. But, yeah, I mean, we keep saying, oh, there's going to be these rules put in place. There's going to be, you know, some legislation put in place. I don't see it. I don't see where the NCAA, as the governing body of the sport, has to, you know, implement a contract system of some sort and a cap of money spent. Why is TJ Finley playing 7 years of college football? Very simple. He knows he's not going to go pro and do anything substantial, but he can get paid to play college football. He's just basically staying around for a job, for a paycheck. So, you know, I don't fault him for that. You know, the fault thing is something that comes up a lot. It's like, can you fault this kid for taking $2 million to go somewhere else? Not really. But once they become a millionaire, yeah, we're going to treat them like real people. They're not 12-year-olds. We say kids. They're not 12-year-olds. They are grown adults taking millions of dollars. So, yes, I'm going to talk about their loyalty and how they do business. Now, the main issue is we allow it to happen. So, you know, I'm not ever one of those guys that, and that's probably because I've coached a lot of things in my life. But, yes, it all goes to the coach. But, no, it doesn't all go to the coach. So, yes, it could all go back to the NCAA or whoever's allowing on this. But at some point, you got to blame the player. You got to blame the warm body that's taking the money and running. You got to blame them. The system is there. It's not their fault the system is there. But it is kind of their fault when they've got millions of dollars in their pocket. And then they go, well, yeah, I'm going to go visit this school for $50,000. And the next time we'll take $2 million from this school to go there. You know, agents in college football is ridiculous. Having agents and all of that, that's absolutely ridiculous. And you know, they're not always the most upstanding dudes in the world. So they're going to do whatever it takes to get their cut. They're going to Jimmy Sexton. You know, we're going to have poor man Jimmy Sexton's doing this to 18-year-olds now, or managing 18-year-olds who have two parents who never had any money, and they're going to say they want money too. There's no good way about it, and I'm going to complain about it forever, not demanding change for my words, but if it's something that's awful that's messing up one of the best sports there is for the reasons and taking away the reasons for it's the best sport, yes, I'm going to complain. I'm not going to be like, you know, get over it. It's just the name of the game now. How many millions of dollars we have for this lineman? Like, I'm sorry. So, you know, it's created, it's brought out monsters out of these kids. Like, there's been Instagram lives the last few weeks with certain players that are no longer at Auburn. Malcolm Simmons, Malik Blockton. Where they were on there saying things like, F Auburn, I'm never coming back to Auburn again. Now, here's the reason they said that. They said that because Alex Golish, Auburn's new coach, came in and looked at their footage of a 5-7 team, a 10-24 or 10-14 team for the last 2 years, and said, why is this guy making $3 million? Why is this guy making $1 million? Why is this guy whatever? And he implemented, or is trying to implement, currently implementing, a system where you earn it. You get money. You're going to go ahead and get money because you're on the team. And if you didn't, you'd go play for Alabama. But you've got to earn it a little bit. Now we've created kids, young adults that are making millions of dollars that now think that is too much. That is ridiculous. And it kind of is. Again, it goes down to the, well, if you don't, that team will. So you've got him implementing a correct system. It's not correct, but it's as correct as you can kind of get in this system, and say, you've got to do this to make this extra money. Like they were offering Cam, you know, a certain jump, a certain percentage if he got to 1,000 yards, which he only had 700 or something this year. And now we've created players that are going, nope, I'm not going to earn it. You're going to give it to me. That's literally what they said. And then their response also to that was, F Auburn, I'm not coming to Auburn again. So F all the fans that cheered for you all year and pulled for you and wanted you to be back on this team, because the coach is implementing a, what's the word I'm looking for? Merit-based system. The coach is looking for a merit-based system, is adding a merit-based system. I do want to toot my family horn again for a second. Baby Bloggle, about a month ago, right before he's 16 now, he's not Baby Bloggle, he's a junior in high school and plays baseball, if anybody's looking for a first baseman. He had to write a report on, it was like a, I can't remember the exact thing, but he basically wrote that NIL should be performance-based, merit-based. And then Alex Golish gets hired, and he's pretty much in implementing that. And so Baby Bloggle says it's his idea, and he's saying, that's right. Name a job where you're just given millions and then your team is 5-7 and you get to say, oh, well, give me a million more or I'm going to this school when the season's over. Because that's literally what happens. It's every year. Now we make a huge deal about the fact that players are coming back. First of all, that's sad. Second of all, they're coming back because they asked for a raise and they got it. Triple sad on top of that. There is nothing good about this. Nothing. You can say it's good that dude got $6 million. Now, if he invests that money and 30 years from now it's $30 million or whatever you want to be, and he's smart with it and he goes on to maybe play in the NFL or get a real job and have a good job and a family and all that, that's a good way to handle that money. But that's not what's going to happen 99% of the time. You're giving a 19-year-old $2 million. What are you going to do? Again, you can't blame them. You can blame the system. But if they're over 18 and have $1 million in their pocket, you can blame them. I mean, at some point, somebody's got to have a little bit of accountability. I'm very glad that whatever the Washington quarterback, they held him accountable, basically said, you sign this. No, you're not going. Ole Miss's quarterback, this is not really NIL related. It is because he wants more money. The NCAA actually said no. Now they'll probably say yes because they've appealed it. I don't know. Never understood the process of appealing. Maybe one appeal, but just appealing until you get what you want, that doesn't make sense to me. But let me look back at our chat real quick. Well, it won't let me scroll it for some reason. Where is it? Here it is. Yes, Golish is doing percentage-based. Cam caught 60% of his passes this year. Yes, Auburn is at $30 million, which is not even top 10. Indiana's cracked the code. Stars don't matter. It's the age of maturity of the player. Yes. Okay, so that was what I was going to talk about too. So when you grow up playing sports, like travel ball, baseball, football, whatever, they break everything down by age. Like when you're playing rec ball, they'll usually put two age groups together, like 7 and 8, 9 and 10, 11 and 12, whatever. But if you do travel ball, it's 7U, 8U, 9U, 10U. As you get a little bit older, maybe 16, 17, 18, they might combine those. Usually that's based off of numbers of players. They need more players, so they'll just put two age groups together. But when you get to college, you're throwing 18-year-olds, 18, 19, in the same pot as 23. And we always think like they're the same level and the same whatever. We saw with Auburn's basketball team last year, we were one of the oldest in the nation, and it matters. A 23-year-old is better, smarter, stronger, maybe not stronger, but more experienced, knows how to use their body than an 18 or 19-year-old, than a 18 or 19-year-old. So Indiana has one of the oldest football teams. I think they said their average age was older than some NFL teams, and Auburn's average age last year in basketball was older than some NBA teams. That matters. I don't know if that's a rule that needs to be looked at. I mean, I guess that's a part of the transfer portal that really never was a thing. It kind of caused it. Because used to, back in the day, not very long ago, actually, less than 10 years ago, you could transfer one time. You young bucks listen to how this used to work and how perfect it sounds. You could transfer one time. You had to sit out the entire year after you transferred, and then you got to go play. Cam Newton transferred to JUCO. That was technically his sit-out year, so some of them would do that, and then they could come straight back in. A few years later, they added the rule that if you graduated, you could transfer and play that one more year, a graduate transfer, immediately because you were done after that year. They didn't make you wait and then play your last year. Those are two perfect things. But again, we can't tell anybody no. How dare we oppress somebody and hold them down in the school they picked that was giving them millions of dollars, giving them everything they needed. How dare us? And so what my whole point was most time people would transfer and then they were stuck at their school, and it would be just like they would transfer year one or two. They'd be stuck at their school. Now you can transfer all the time and everywhere. So you could get a conglomeration of 5 23-year-olds on a basketball team. You could get a conglomeration of 25 23-year-olds on a football team. So you're seeing that. Auburn was very good last year in basketball because they were older than most people. Old, also experienced with each other. They were together for a long time, most of the time. So, yes, age matters. 18 and 23 is a big jump. I know we throw it in there together and we act like it's the same thing, but it's not. Like, if you just happen to have a young team, that's going to matter for experience reasons, for just body reasons, mind, whatever. Logan on the chat says, return the transfer rule, but add no sit out year if the head coach leaves for transfer. Yes, I'm fine with that. If you want to transfer, sit out. And then play the next year. That'll really make you think about it. It's not a punishment, but it's just like it's a consequence, I guess, maybe. Just, do you really want to do this? Do you really want to sit out a whole year of playing? But no, we got to act like every person's got to go pro when they're 18, so we got to get those years pumped in. We don't want to wait and go to college for 4 or 5 years. I know a lot of people go to college for 7 years. 10 years, whatever it was, called doctors. But yeah, if the coach leaves and there's some situation like that, sure. But then I feel like that would make a really big push for like everybody to leave. It's like it would kind of subconsciously be like, all right, my coach left. Now we're all going to leave, right? But I don't know. Basketball plays Missouri tonight. They're a 1-point favorite on the road. Hadn't really paid a lot of attention to Missouri. They did beat Florida pretty decently the other day, I think. Florida's not near as good as they were last year. Nobody in the SEC is near. Well, Vanderbilt's much better than they were last year. I think everybody else is just kind of like right where they were or maybe 5 steps below. And again, it could be a circumstance that everybody lost all their best players. But, and, you know, Tennessee lost a lot of players. They're not as good. Auburn lost everybody. They're not as good. Alabama kind of lost. Yeah, I mean, they're not as good. It's Vandy, just whatever they did, they're otherworldly at this point. They're still not getting – if it was Auburn, I'd be screaming like crazy. They're undefeated. But they're still like – like all the metrics, they're 4, 5, 3. But all the polls are like 8. It's like nobody wants to believe it yet. It feels like Auburn last year. Auburn was ranked number 1 this week last year. And Iowa State was 2, and I think Iowa State's 2 right now. I was watching their game last night, and I swear it said they were number two, and I was kind of shocked. But yeah, Auburn plays Missouri tonight. Played a really good game against Arkansas, best game of the year. And Arkansas was actually supposed to be better than they were last year, and they kind of looked like it. They'd only lost three games, all the top 10 teams. Until Auburn had lost to Texas A&M and Georgia, all their games were top 10 losses. The Georgia game was just stupid, and the Texas A&M game was even dumber. Did Texas A&M lose to Tennessee last night? I was watching it. I know it went to overtime. Let me look it up real quick. Tennessee. Oh, they lost in double overtime. Oh, Bucky McMillan. Never really thought about him. I knew he was the Mountain Brook coach. Then he went to Samford. It was like, oh, cool. He graduated to Samford, which is, you know, props to Samford. Pat Sullivan, a lot of Auburn people from there. My grandfather-in-law was a coach and player there. Was he a coach? He played there. But, you know, when he jumped to Texas A&M, I was like, okay, he's about to get it. And I think they had a pretty good record before the SEC started, maybe one loss, but they weren't ranked. It was kind of like they didn't have a good strength of schedule. And I was like, you know, this isn't going to translate. But all it is full court press all the time. That's all it is. It's full court press 98% of the game, and it just gets in your head. If that's what Buckyball is, sure. Auburn, you know, I'm not going to do a full recap of that game, but, you know, Auburn almost lost the lead in like, what was it, a minute or so, 2 minutes. They had three straight steals throwing it in. The thing was, Texas A&M missed like every shot for a 10-point span, and I think we were up 16. And I said to Beautiful Bloggle, I don't remember the last time they scored. No joke. They went steal three, steal three, steal three. Like, the issue was they just started making shots. Yes, they got three extra possessions, but that one dude that was from Creighton had a weird name, but he made like, it felt like they made eight threes in a row. That was the thing. They started making those shots that they weren't making before. We got all flustered, came down to the last second shot. The devil is real. That's what happened in that game. So, playing Missouri tonight, it's been, you can see it in the jungle. I'm going to complain about the jungle real quick. The jungle has not been very lit this year, or maybe the TV's got it lower. I've only been to two games this year. I've let Baby Bloggle 1 can drive now. So, I've let the times we've gotten tickets, he takes Baby Bloggle 2. So, I've not gone near as many times as I'd normally have. Let them go. We've also had a lot of 8 o'clock games, and it's been weird timing and whatever. I just didn't feel like going. Let them go. But the times I've watched, does the jungle have a new leader? It just hadn't been. I know we're not as good as last year. It's not as fun. Bruce retiring kind of took the wind out of our sails. Steven took over. We knew there was going to be some transition. I'm good with Steven. I said for years leading up to it, I knew Steven was going to get hired, and that was going to be boring. I honestly didn't want it to happen because I just thought that would be boring. I'm always one of those people that hates internal hires because it's just boring to me. But in this case, Bruce wasn't fired. It's not like something bad happened and then we decided to keep somebody that was below him. Good things were happening and we just decided to promote, just like the Duke guy years ago. He had never coached anywhere. And yeah, he wasn't Mike Krzyzewski's son, but he had been there forever and knew the system and just moved him up. And guess what? Duke's still good. So I was fine with Steven being hired, but I feel like kind of took the wind out of our sails a little bit right before the season. We've lost a few games, and it's not what it was the last 2 years or so with Dylan Cardwell running up and down the court. Dylan Cardwell, who blocked a LeBron shot like two nights ago or a night ago, and he also got dunked on by Jabari. Look, we all loved Dylan when he was at Auburn, but every one of us was saying he might go European League. I mean, you got to think. You got people like Anthony Macklemore, Austin Wiley, like players that you probably thought were better than Dylan. Dylan's a big, tall dude, and it's easy for him to dunk. But he plays really good defense. But we all know we were sitting there going, we love him, but he's not going to play in the league. And guess what? He's playing as much as anybody right now. He's playing more than Janai. I don't even think Janai is actually technically in the league right now. But that's been cool to see. I mean, but point is, Jungle, we got to step it up. We got to stop. I mean, it's not loud. It's just not. And I'm tired of seeing every other team wear the same shirt on their student section. And I know we had jersey night, and then they told us to wear blue the other night, and everybody on Twitter is complaining that they were told what to wear. Can we stop that stupidity? Like, get over yourself. This goes down to football, just normal fans, not students anymore. Like, wear orange. Nope, I'm wearing blue like I always do. Okay, great. Good job. Big, strong guy. I'm going to wear the shirt color I want to. They're trying to just create like an atmosphere and a TV thing and make it look cool and make it look good. And honestly, if there's a big horde of orange shirts next to the court, it probably looks a little bit better than everybody wearing whatever t-shirt they wore to class that day. It does. Go look at a overhead shot of Jordan-Hare Stadium in the last 10 years on a game day. And then go look at like 1994 Auburn LSU game. It's a rainy game. We had the four interceptions in the second half. Go look at it. I watched it semi-recently, and not one person's wearing the same color or anything, and it just looks like it doesn't look good. I don't know. I mean, when Tommy Tuberville came and started wear orange and all that, that was kind of my high school, middle school start era, and that's when I really started caring. And so I guess that's just been ingrained in my brain that that's what you do. But go look at it. It looks like trash. And that's what our jungle looks like, with everybody just kind of wearing what you want to. We need to wear the same similar stuff. Or Auburn, that has $30 million to give football players, put a shirt down for them. Like, I know it's hard to get a spot and people be fighting over it. Put a shirt down for them. Give them the shirt. When I was in the Cliff Dwellers in 2001, we all got an orange shirt that said Cliff Dwellers. They were sitting on they were either handing them out going into the student section, or they were sitting on the chair. Give them a shirt. You got money. Those shirts will cost you $6. A beefy tee, Hanes beefy tee, or a Gildan. Anyway, I was trying not to get mad today. Wow, 45 minutes. Actually, once I edited it down, it'll probably be 35. The first 10 was me trying to figure out how this live stream would work. What else? I was going to talk about Hugh Freeze for a second. Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. There's one more thing we'll talk about. I wanted to rant about this in a Blogspot or a podcast the whole second half of the season, and it's just one of those things. I didn't want to do a whole podcast on it. Whatever. This is a two-sided thing real quick. So Hugh Freeze, after some game, said we were close to winning a game. We were close, whatever. Maybe 2 weeks later, said the same thing again. You know, these were the same games, Oklahoma, Georgia, whatever, that everybody was screaming collusion during the game, that the referees were in collusion, the SEC hates us, and the game should be under protest. But as soon as the game's over, that all goes away, and we're awful, fire everybody, we just can't win. I've never understood this aspect. You blame everybody. You blame the refs. You say the game is under protest. Something is up. But then it stays close. And at the end, you think, oh, we still got a shot to win. And then we don't. And then all that blaming the refs stuff goes away, and it's all of a sudden the coach's fault or the player's fault or whatever. So back to my point. He started saying we were close. And then he got to the point where it got to the point where somebody said, I'm tired of hearing him say we're close. We were close. The score of the game was close. I know you don't want to hear it over and over, but the idea that the team or the score wasn't close, and he went on to say, I know you're tired of hearing this, but we are close. And we were. We weren't losing by 100. That's what the problem. I should have led off. I want to do a whole podcast on this, but I'll say it now. That's the problem with Auburn fans. We get a little bit of a hope at the end of the game. It goes away, and then everybody should be fired. We lose, and everybody should be fired. Is it because we lost the game? No, it's because you thought we were going to win, and then we didn't. So the whole close thing, you hate to hear it because it's a sign of hope, and then it didn't happen, so you're like, well, I don't care. Close doesn't matter. He didn't say, hey, don't fire me, we're close. He didn't say, hey, count it as a win, we're close. He's saying, we lost by 3. He's saying we lost by 2. He's saying without that call, we would have won. We lost to Texas A&M, who was in the playoffs, by 6. We lost to Oklahoma, who was in the playoffs, by 7, who beat Alabama. he's saying we lost whatever it was 10 to Georgia, but you know, we were up 17 and then they gave him a touchdown at the end of the half. We were close. You don't have to whatever. And I know then Stephen Pearl and now Keyshawn Hall have said, we're not saying we're close. That's not something we say around here. That's a stupid dig. Nobody's saying it's okay to be close. The point is people treat a one point loss like we lost by 60. That's the issue, because you had hope at the end. So that's a you problem. That's an internal problem. That's your fault for getting your hopes up and then being so mad. That's why people don't like me, because 10 years ago, I was Mr. Hope. Nothing was ever wrong. A lot of times I was kidding. I was just being a snarky homer. I am a homer, but people didn't like that I said, you know, it's not too bad. We lost to this team, but they beat the number one team or something like that. People would be like, you're okay with that? I'm like, no, I'm just saying it's not near as bad as you think it is. And so that's what Hugh was saying. He was saying it's not as bad as the 60 points you're acting like it was. So then you had, which our great beat reporters, the ones that have been here for 40 years and think they own the city, they like to start throwing out jokes of, are we close? Or Jay Tate saying, asking Golish, do you like to play golf? That was another thing that just got blown extremely out of proportion. Just they found something to jump on. And when you lose football games, people are going to just destroy it. They're just going to go off with it. So it's hard for me, you know, for people that are excited about Golish right now, for people that are excited about Byron Brown right now, and here's another tangent I could go on. It's hard for me to believe it. It's hard for me to be like, yeah, man, look, we're excited. Yes. Oh, you're excited about Golish and Brown and Byron Brown and this running back and this lineman. Oh yeah. Because why? Because in three games in, if we're 0-3, you hate the guy. You want him gone. If we lose to Baylor by one in Atlanta, there's gonna be people saying we shouldn't have hired this guy. There really will be. Because right now they've decided, because we've got a bunch of group of five players from South Florida, we're already awful. So any justification they can have, they'll jump on it. So, but here's what we're not going to do this year. We're not going to do this. I'm just going to go ahead and call it out right now. We're not going to do that thing where we, for the whole last half of the season when Durkin was the coach, where a certain stat looked better or a player that wasn't playing a lot, you know, scored two touchdowns or had a bunch of yards or something and be like, man, how much was Hugh Freeze wasting this? Look, I'm not defending Hugh Freeze. I've never defended or hated on him. But the coach of Auburn is the coach of the team that I like and that I went to that school. So I do, and I'm not really defending Hugh Freeze. I'm defending Auburn to me. So we're not going to do that stupid, cheap thing where you know, Jeremiah Cobb has 2,000 yards next year, and we're going to talk about how Hugh Freeze wasted him for a year. Or if he had just done this, who cares? That's over. It's a new offense, completely new offense. It was a new offense when, what's his name from that's now at Alabama, our old offensive coordinator. I mean, why can't I think of his name? Derek Nix. Like, I never got to say any of this stuff, and it's all just coming out. Y'all don't realize the reason we scored so many points at Vandy is because we were running plays we had not run all year and with a quarterback that had not played. Do y'all not realize it wasn't like, oh, we've taken the shackles off and Hugh Freeze was calling awful plays and Derek Nix is calling all the good ones. It was because we were they had no film on it. Again, not defending Hugh Freeze. I have no reason to defend Hugh Freeze. The last coach I've defended was Gus Malzahn. The two after that, I'm just, you know, they're our coach. I didn't have a reason other than they were our coach. So we're not going to do that. We're not, it's cheap. It's stupid. It's easy and it's pointless just to be, oh, well, imagine what we could have done with this. How bad was he wasting this talent? It's a new system, 100% new. You're going to have players that already know it coming from other places, coming from South Florida. You're going to have players that got to learn it. So maybe good players last year aren't going to be as good this coming year. So we're not going to do that. All right. My throat hurts. I've talked a lot. Appreciate everybody being in here. Let me see what it looks like on Twitter real quick. It's saying it's not telling me how many people are watching. It was at one point. 299, 303. Interesting. All right. So again, this is kind of a test. I wanted to just jump in here and do a live. Does anybody have any questions in the chat? I'll give you 30 more seconds. I don't know if it's, again, there's a delay. I talked about this before. There's going to be a delay. That's the problem with the live. I ask, it waits 10 seconds for it to get to you. Then you got to type, and then I probably don't see it 10 seconds later. So maybe that's not a good thing to do. But anyway, we'll end it. We'll jump in. Well, again, going to try to do more of these. Please harp on me. I've got some ideas for more podcasts, more live streams, all of that. But I appreciate it, everybody joining today. If you are hearing this later, join the next one. All right, that's it. This has been War Bloggle Podcast number 28. Done, War Eagle.